And welcome to the Lawrence Business Magazine, where we have in-depth conversations to explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today, I'm pleased to have Mr. Rick Renfro, who is Johnny's owner, right? Johnny's Tavern for several years. So we're going to talk about his history. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today, Rick.
Hi, Ann. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure being here.
My pleasure. You have an interesting history with Lawrence. So let's just talk about a little bit about your history and how did you become part of Lawrence and then start your be part of Johnny's?
Well, I think like a lot of people, Ann, I came up here to school. That was in the mid 70s. And fell in love with the town and tried to figure out some way to hang on and stay around and live here in town. And I wish I could say it was a plan and that I had it all written out and I knew exactly what I was going to do, but that's not necessarily the case. I kind of just put one foot in front of the other and ended up buying Johnny's in 1978, assuming that it was going to be a 1 or 2 year gig while I either finished school or figured out what I was going to do. And you know, now, what is it, 35 or 36 years later, I'm still down there.
Still trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Right. I'm one of those guys that's hard on the change stuff, so I just kind of slowly but surely keep plodding forward.
Well, you brought Johnny's in 1978, so how did you go, because you were really quite young when you
did
that.
I was only 21 at the time. I think it was barely legal for me to own a liquor license.
Okay, so how did you decide to buy Johnny's? Because Johnny's was an established bar.
It was. Johnny's got started in 1953. By John Wilson, and he ran it until 1974.
Okay.
And he was having a few problems at home personally, and his wife kind of gave him the ultimatum of either you're out of here or the bar is out of here, one of the two.
Okay.
So he ended up selling it, and he sold it to a guy that I eventually bought it from. That guy's name was Gene Johnson. He had it for 3 years. And I was a bartender at the Eagles Club here in town, and Gene was a customer of mine. And he kept hammering me about, boy, you ought to buy this little joint over here across the river. It'd be a great place for the college kids to hang out. And I had been there, and I knew it was not a great place for the college kids to hang out. So I fought him off as long as I could. But then I kind of ran out of options. I wasn't doing as well in school as I wanted to, and I hadn't really decided what I wanted to do.
So you hadn't picked a major yet?
No, hadn't done that. Nope, I was kind of all across the board. Everything interested me, but I was not really willing to put the time and the effort into honing in on the one thing. And so I decided to do it, and I was able to get in real cheap, and he financed me. And, you know, the first 6 months it was all right. I didn't really make any money, but I was able to pay the bills and pay him back. And then and I was living by myself. I didn't have any expenses. Lots of times I'll see people at the grocery store and they'll go, hi, Johnny. And I say, my name's not Johnny, it's Rick. And they say, oh, yeah, but you own Johnny's, don't you? And I say, well, not really. The first 8 years when I was single and having a good time, I owned Johnny's. But now I'm married and kids and the mortgage payment, so Johnny's owns me is how it is now.
Very good. Yeah, well, when I was in college, Johnny's, you had turned Johnny's quickly into a college place there.
Yes,
So are you the one that brought the rugby team to do those parties there?
You know, I think that's probably been the biggest influence on my life. I hate to say it, but I really fell in love with rugby. It's become a passion of my life. I'm still involved with the program. I've made tons of friends and business contacts, and that was my main motivation was to be able to stay here in town and continue with my rugby career.
Now, did you play rugby at Kansas?
I did play rugby at the time. I played at the University of Kansas from 1975 until 79 or 80. And then we started a club side here in town, which filters in right with the varsity team, the college team. It's not a varsity sport. It's a club sport at the university. And just continued on after that.
Now, when Johnny's was first, and when I was going to school, Johnny was an 18 bar. That was, we were just serving beer at the time.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
And then you had a club up. Then there was a club upstairs.
There was, yeah. Nothing stays the same. Everything changes. And each state has their own liquor laws. So they're always at the whim of what's going on politically and who's in charge and all that kind of stuff. And so in 85, they started discussing about withholding federal funds from states that didn't raise their drinking age.
I was like, it was a highway, right? Your highway funds they were going to withhold
if you
didn't.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was on a couple of committees to kind of try and stop that. And we were one of the last states that adopted it. But finally, in 1988 is when it went into effect.
Okay.
And so from 1978 to 82, Johnny's was just a 3-2 bar, and it was just downstairs there, and that's mm-hmm. all it was. And we had a little burger thing going in there. And then in 1982, we opened the Up and Under, which was a private club upstairs.
Right.
And you had to be 21 years old.
Or at least have an ID.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know how that is.
It was a little more flexible back then.
And it, I'll tell you what, I thought it worked a lot better back mm-hmm. then. I really still struggle with this age limit change now. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of hypocrisy going on out
yeah.
there. A lot of people looking the other way about the 18 to 21 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're eventually going to have to look that straight in the face and figure out what we're going to do there. But at that point in time, I thought it was a perfect world. We had the 3-2 bar downstairs, 18 and over. That was open till 12 at night, and then the upstairs was open till 3 a.m., and that's where mm-hmm. you could get whiskey, and
right.
you had to be 21 to get in up there. So in 88, when they mm-hmm. changed that law, we just
right.
formed the whole business. It was two separate businesses, and
okay.
then we just changed it all into Johnny's / doing business, or it was Up and Under Incorporated doing business as Johnny's Tavern.
Okay. So switching over, because I know that a lot of, you know, the law and stuff and just the kind of philosophy of that, you know, changing to 18-year-olds not drinking, but then the kind of changeover in the bar itself and with personnel, because you had to change people who could actually work there.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
How did that, did it really affect your business, do you think? Did it take a while for people to adjust or for you to adjust, or did it really... Was there a big transition there?
Absolutely. And, you know, over the course of these 36 years, there's been a lot of transitions like that. Like the last one that was really big was the smoking ban.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of people come to me and go, man, is that going to hurt your business? Is it going to kill you? And what's going on there? And I always brought it back to, I mean, they did the biggest change governmentally that could happen is they made 90% of my customers illegal overnight, you know, the college kids, which are 18 to 21, 22. So it was a major adjustment. Like you say, we couldn't hire people that were 18 years old to work there anymore. They had to be 21. You had to go through the whole ID thing. At that point in time, in order to serve liquor and be open to the public, you had to sell 30% food.
Right.
So that's when we started putting in the kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if the government wouldn't have forced me to sell 30% food, I'd probably still just be selling beer and liquor and not the food.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas forcing my to get the food thing going, that's probably been able to, for us to survive now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we would not have the locations in Kansas City that we have if we didn't have that food component. That's really a big part of it.
Yeah, and that's the next thing, because I want to talk to you then. So you then had... You took Johnny's, you grew, you know, that, you survived the transition into the 21 world.
Mm-hmm.
And then when did you start expand? And then the that's when you had the food, you said the food was introduced. Then, so when did you start expanding Johnny's? And because I graduated when you were still just Johnny's and stuff like that. So then when we moved back here a few years ago, all of a sudden there's Johnny's West, Johnny's,
yeah,
you know, Johnny's. So when did that happen? Because that happened when I wasn't here.
In 92 is
okay.
when we opened our first location in Kansas City.
Okay.
And, that was kind of a necessity type of thing. I had two partners at the time, Louis Reeder and Doug Hassick. And the bar was doing well enough to provide a living for one or two of us, but not for three of us. The pie
okay.
wasn't big enough. So we started tossing around the idea of opening up another location in Kansas City. And we actually did some extensive market research and checked things out. And we had to go out and look for a location. Like now, I have lots of realtors and people coming to us all the time wanting us to put in a Johnny's. But
mm-hmm.
back then, there was no branding of Johnny's, so nobody really knew what we were about or what
mm-hmm.
was going on. And there was a shopping center at that time at 119th and Glenwood, which right now is just buried back there. But at that point in time, in 92, it was the only shopping center out there, cornfields everywhere. But we did our market research, and within a 5-mile radius, which is typically what you base your restaurant
okay.
on, there were 50,000 people that had gone to KU, not necessarily graduates
wow.
of KU, but people. So
that's
Lawrence
a huge,
back then was
yeah.
only about 60,000 people
yeah.
total, with I think 18,000 college kids. So right there in Southern Overland Park, there was a whole nother Lawrence. So
wow.
we figured if we kept the KU tie and went in there and tried that, it would work, and it did.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, when I was in school, there was always a lot of Overland Park kids, so I guess they all went up back then. Well, that's interesting. So that's why, so that's why you expanded in that location, because you knew that there'd be a familiarity with the Johnny's name already.
Yes, exactly.
That was really smart. So when you opened that,
you think that was smart?
It sounded like a good plan.
Retroactively, it sounds smart. At the time,
you were like a little nervous. So when you're going from kind of your Johnny's now, which is the original Johnny's, been in that building. It's got a lot of character. It's been So then you're moving to a place that's all kind of shiny and new.
A strip mall, unbelievable.
That's a big head change. How do you do?
It was kind of I had some major reservations about that, but I'll tell you. The landlords of the place, there was a lawyer and an accountant, and they're in their 70s now, so they would have been in their, I don't know, 60s, older guys. I was a young, mid-20, early 30 guy, and they were much older, and they came up, they wanted to check out our location, so they came to Johnny's in North Lawrence, and it was a Wednesday night at 5 o'clock at night, and that's back when we used to do 25-cent draws.
I remember.
The place was packed, it was shaming over, and I was really proud of all the renovations that we'd done. So I was taking these guys and showing them around and all the improvements that we'd done and how clean we kept the place and everything. And after about an hour, they both looked at each other and they go, man, this is it. This is what we need. And I go, well, what are you talking about? And they go, well, see those cigarette butts on the floor over there and that dirt in the corner? We need some of this in Johnson County. We need a really legitimate local place, dive place to come to Johnson County. So they were more happy about the character of the place.
So what year was this again? I'm sorry, what year was that? 90?
That was in 92.
Okay.
Yeah, 92. Uh-huh. And I, now, I'm sure it's always been that way, but I never knew that much about it. With architects and, mm-hmm. and builders and all that kind of stuff, you can take a strip mall mm-hmm. and then just with the interior of it, change it around and make it a whole totally different thing. When you open up the door, it's like, whoa, wait a minute here.
Right.
So I've been real happy with all
so
that.
You got there, you threw a lot of dirt and somebody went around just like taking cigarettes and started smashing them in the corners.
It wasn't that bad, but yes, you're right. I think it was more of an attitude.
Okay. Yeah. You get this. So the kind of the decor with the kind of, the kind of a little bit of almost a retro, but not completely.
Right, exactly.
Because that was interesting too. So that was your first expansion.
Yes.
Now, how long in that, and well, I guess we'll have to take a break here,
sure.
Because when we come back, I want to talk about, expanding there, kind of getting your mindset. Now we're like got two spaces, and how long it took for that place to actually take off. We'll talk about that when
Absolutely.
We get back.
Thanks, Ann.
1320 KLWN, radio you can depend on.
September 19th, you're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine. Once again, your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you. I'm sitting here talking with Rick Renfro from Johnny's Tavern and his expanding conglomeration of Johnny's Taverns across the region. Before we left, we were talking about him opening your first place in Overland Park that was in a strip mall, but in the interior had a lot of character, so you had to get people in those doors though to see that you still had kind of the Johnny's feel and working with the recruiting all those KU people to come and be your clientele there. How long did it take? Because that's a huge investment though for you guys to expand into Kansas City, and you needed this to work because you and your partners wanted, obviously, that's you were kind of taking a gamble, but being trying to be as smart about it as possible whenever you expand. How long did it take for that place to kind of really take off and say, okay, yeah, this is going to work and start turning?
Right. I'll go back to your first point just real quick. You're right. It took a lot of soul searching because we had a pretty good thing going here in North Lawrence. It was safe.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew that if we were going to be in this business for a long time, there wasn't enough room for all of us. So we needed some kind of a bigger pie to share. And what we really struggled with was to borrow the money. There was no money at that point in time.
Okay.
I think interest rates were like 14 or 15%. I remember borrowing money one time at 17%. Unbelievable. But I was glad to borrow it because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. So after doing the market research and checking out and doing as many due diligence things that we could. We still couldn't find any money. Nobody would lend us money. So we ended up going to Douglas County Bank. I don't know whether I can say that on the
You sure can. On the air, we support local businesses.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. And we had been dealing with them since day one. And one of the loan officers, Mary Grobe, she's still over there now. She suggested that we do a small business loan. Mm-hmm. So, oh my goodness gracious, you talk about paperwork, it's a foot and a half thick, and luckily she walked us through it all, but it was basically a guarantee for the bank that if we failed, that they would, the government would take care of it. So we were actually the first out-of-county loan that Douglas County Bank did at that point in time in 1992. We're in their little history book, that 50-year anniversary book.
Oh, that's great. That's a great, a local business helping local businesses.
Yes.
We
were doing, the idea was we were going to bring all that Kansas City money back here to Lawrence. That was the idea. And so we went in there, and none of my partners, Doug Hassick and Louis Reeder, neither one or myself wanted to move to Kansas City. We all really liked living here. So the idea was that we were going to go in there for 6 weeks at a time. One of us would go in there for 6 weeks, and then we'd rotate and move back. And we drew straws, and Louis, one of my partners, lost. So he had to go in there the first 6 weeks. But after he was there for 3 weeks, he called us up. He says, "Hey, guys, I'm going to move to Kansas City." You know, I said, "Wow, great, and business has been good." And that goes to your question, how long did it take in order to, the word of mouth was incredible. Just right off the bat, it was a good thing.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was good. But I think the main thing for Louis, he was single at the time. And I said, "Well, why'd you make this decision?" He goes, "Well, because in Lawrence, all the girls are college girls or they're married. In Kansas City, they're, you know, 22 to 45, and they all have jobs." So he decided he was going to stay in Kansas City.
So it was altruistic.
Right off the bat, it was like one of the first sports bars in Kansas City. We had, you know, what, 25 TVs, and at that point in time, KU was doing great in basketball, and the Chiefs were on a roll, and so it was a little bit different place. It was new. Everybody tries that new place.
Because you weren't really a sports bar in Lawrence so much.
No. In fact, when we bought it in 1978, there were no TVs in Johnny's at all.
Okay.
And that was the biggest argument that I had with my partner, Doug. In May of 1978, I have to look this. Somebody can Google that and look it up. But sometime in 78, I think it was May or July, ESPN started.
That's
so
right.
So my partner
right,
came to me and he says, "Hey, they're getting ready to start this new sports channel. It's going to be on 24 hours a day, have all kinds of different sports. We need to get a TV down here." And I said, over my dead body, "I'm going to get a TV. This is a local neighborhood tavern. We want to be able to talk to people. TVs will kill the conversation. Everybody will be watching it." Well, that shows you how dead wrong I was, because now when we do a new location, you know, it's a little over $1 million to put in a new location, and our biggest budget item is our TVs and we have a whole room that's set up with all the satellite monitors and dishes and all that kind of stuff. So
that's amazing.
It's a huge thing, but yeah.
So it makes it more of the way people do see sporting events is different, because now going out to bars, because there weren't that many sports bars.
No, there weren't.
When I lived in both LA and New York, they were kind of starting out about that same time, too.
ESPN, I think, is
changed
what
it, yeah. Because not everybody had cable either at that time.
No,
so
no.
The few places like the bars that had it.
TVs were so expensive that a good big TV was, you know, $5,000 or $6,000,
right.
And people weren't going to plunk that down.
That's
one of the things that have hurt the sports. Well, just going out to dinner and the sports bar business especially, is that now the TVs are so inexpensive or reasonable. I guess like the automobile,
right?
Everybody can get one for their home, and people have nice bars at home and all that kind of stuff. So
it changes the atmosphere. It has to be more of a social reason to go out than just to see the game. Well, now so you started Kansas City took off really quickly, so that's great. So then when did you guys said, "Okay, we've got these two places, we're making a living here, this is great"? Now how did you decide, "Okay, we're going to start doing more expanding"?
It was quite a while before we decided to do that. I think it was 4 years before we opened our second store in Kansas City. And the reason we did that was the same reason that we opened another Johnny's. Johnny's in North Lawrence. I had myself and two other guys, three good owner-operators. and there wasn't enough of a pie, so we opened another one. Well, by that point in time, we had several other people in the wings that had worked with us that wanted to be in the business and
be part owners and stuff. Right. Yeah.
So I think that was more the push is, hey, we're going to lose these guys unless we open up another location. So we opened up our Shawnee location. That must have been in 95 or 96.
Okay.
And then we opened up a store in Prairie Village about 2 years after that. And the Overland Park store, the Ridgeview store, the Shawnee store, the Prairie Village store. And then what really put us over the top, I think, as far as making our branding better and legit is when we opened that store at Ridgeview. It's at K-10 in Ridgeview. Most people see it as you're driving into Kansas City there. As soon as we opened that store, the floodgates opened up. And now, like I say, I get 3 or 4 calls a week about locations where we can go. So we opened the
You got like your fourth store, that was your fourth store. That was kind of like, it's like the, okay, you really have a brand here that's working.
Yeah. And then I think the last couple of years we opened 3 stores in 2 years.
So, wow.
Yeah, and that was quick and they all went really well. And I think the one that we all was a big gamble and a big risk for us, but has really turned out well, is that store at the Kansas Power and Light District.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, because that must have been a bigger overhead too, right?
Oh, my goodness gracious. You get what you pay for is what they say. And we get high gross sales because that Sprint Center across the street is the second busiest event center in the United States.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, everybody was
worried.
I mean,
I know it's busy, but...
They have 240 events a year. There's only like 90 days out of the year where there's nothing going on there.
And they're getting ready for an event.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody was worried because they didn't have a basketball team or a hockey team. But now they think they're able to fill it more because they're not tied down to a schedule.
Right.
So they can get the concerts coming in at different times and the ice capades and all that kind of stuff. And because we're right across the street, it doesn't really matter whether it's the Big 12 basketball tournament or the ice capades. We're busy for either one because it's a location.
That's a huge. So when you moved in there, did you specifically, when you were targeting, say, okay, we're going to go to the power, we're thinking about the Power and Light District? Because that was, you were one of the few first people down there, right?
We were there 2 years after they opened up. It was actually them that instigated. The Cordish Group is who owns that place. And they built it and they also operate it. And they have a really good concept. They go in and they build these places, and then they actually open the restaurants. One part of their business is managing and operating restaurants.
Okay.
So they brought in their chains, their restaurants that they were familiar with doing. And one of the problems they were having is that they had talked real big with the city council about having local businesses in there and all that. So there weren't any local businesses, and they were getting a lot of hassle from the city government because the revenues weren't what they predicted and the sales tax wasn't what was going. So one of the ways to mitigate that, they came after several local places.
Okay.
Ourselves, Tanner's, there were a couple other places in Kansas City that they negotiated with.
Oh, cool.
So when they came to us, at first they scared us with the, you know, here's what the rent is. And it's like, holy moly.
It must have been like triple or something like you had spent anywhere else, right?
Probably 10 times what I pay in North Lawrence. But there's a lot of things that are in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you get all the security, all the advertising. So at the KP&L store, we don't spend any money on advertising because that's all co-opted through the rent.
Oh, okay.
And
that helps your overall branding of Johnny's.
Exactly,
then too.
Right. And they're always doing events. They have this area in the inside called the living room, and they have concerts in there and all that kind of stuff. So part of our rent goes to help promote that stuff and provide security for it and all that. So it's kind of...
still scary. It's still.
It was very scary at the start, and it still is
because
now.
It really wasn't
been there
thriving
2 years,
then,
and it's
right?
doing great. But you know how it is. If any kind of an incident or things change, or I don't know. There's risk.
Well, when you went in there, it was already an established place, but it's really in the last. How long have you been in there now?
We've been there a little over 2 years.
2 years. So and that's kind of the last 3 or 4 years is when it's really kind of taken off,
yes,
right?
Yep. The last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's like we always had visions of going to Dallas or Phoenix or Chicago or somewhere in California. But that's what this is.
Okay.
This is being able to do it in our hometown or close to our hometown right. and have those high volume sales. Yeah.
And it really helps your other stores then too, I would imagine.
Yeah. We always have worried about, that was one of the things we worried about, you know, going to Kansas City is that you have so many resources. You got money, you got people, and you got time and all that kind of stuff. And when you start dividing those things up, then
right.
sometimes you neglect what you already have. And sometimes you're better off taking care of what you already have established as opposed to expanding. So that goes into the formula about whether or not we should do something.
Well, that's well, that's what I find interesting too. And well, when you, so you expanded these areas and you still have your same core and you've got people that kind of are been homegrown in your places here that you said you kind of, they wanted to be part of this mm-hmm. kind of growth. And so you can, so you're still, you've got your main management team. So you kind of went from being a bar owner to this manager of this stuff. So how did, philosophically, you can't be as hands-on as you used to be?
I have a real hard time with that, too, because I think I went not from being a bar owner, but from being a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I owned Johnny's the first 4 or 5 years, I was the bartender, and I was the burger flipper, and I was the clean-upper guy at night. And I figured out that if I was going to make the kind of money that I wanted to make and to do the kind of things I wanted to do, it's just like anything else, like the rugby team or whatever else you want to do. It's teamwork and it's team effort.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't figure out a way to work with other people and to motivate them and to have them have the same goals that you have, then you're probably going to just be on a little narrow, straight path there. So I'm real proud of how we've set up our deal, kind of did it by the seat of our pants. We looked at a lot of different scenarios from restaurants across the country, and I read all the magazines and all that kind of stuff, but all of our places are owner-operated, so each general manager owns a certain percentage of specific store.
Mm-hmm.
Could be 3%, could be 15%. And then all the other owner-operators have an opportunity to buy into that store, so we're sharing. Nobody owns more than 30% of any store except me. I own 100% of the North Lawrence store,
okay.
and I own 90% of this West Lawrence store. But all the other stores, the majority owner has like 20%, and but there's 6 or 7 people that have an interest whether or not that place does well.
That's a wonderful business model because you have people that are invested that are really working, so you really have – your investors are vested.
Yes,
really,
exactly
not just
right.
that's yeah, really. Yeah. Well, let's talk about we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, I'm going to talk about the expanding in Lawrence and making sure the West Side's taken care of, and then kind of what's the future for Johnny's when we get back.
Perfect. Thanks.
1320 KLWN, radio you can depend on.
43 on this Thursday morning at 1320 KLWN. It's radio you can depend on. You're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine. Once again, your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Rick Renfro from Johnny's Tavern, and we're talking about his kind of growing from one store into several. But before we get back to our conversation, I want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can also find us online at thelawrencebusinessmagazine.com, where you can submit questions and comments for our guests at questions@lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, and like us on Facebook, where you can find out updates and information on the show and the magazine. We love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So, Rick, before we left, so we were talking, so now you've expanded in Kansas City, and you've got your, you're in the Power and Light District and stuff, but you also expanded in Lawrence. When did you add the West Lawrence location here?
Before I answer that, I just want to tell you what a great job you guys do with the Lawrence Business Magazine.
It's an excellent
publication. It's very professional. I enjoy reading it. It's nice seeing it in the doctor's office and all around, and I encourage everybody to take a look at it. It's really a nice publication.
Thank you.
Local.
Yeah, so we are very focused on local, and that we want to make sure
Thank you. Let's see. I actually bought into – there was a restaurant there called J.B. Stout's, and I bought into that as a small minor partner. I owned, 10% of it maybe, and that was about 12 years ago. And there were 6 partners, and it was okay, but it wasn't how I felt comfortable. I didn't really have control, and I didn't really have a lot of input on it. Just it was like a doctor investing in a business, and I never have felt comfortable like that. So over the course of the years, the partnership kind of morphed, and it wasn't working as well. And most restaurants have a lifetime, you know, of 6-8 years. If you make it past that first 2 years, then you got 6 or 8 years, and then you're supposed to retool and redo and all that. So we were hitting on that time frame, and I ended up during that time frame with that same partnership group, we opened a business across the street called Marisco's, which is a seafood special occasion.
It's a very kind of a nice restaurant.
It is a great. I'm real proud of that place now.
Very good.
Well, for about 2 or 3 years, we operated both of those restaurants, and the partnership ended up dissolving, and I ended up buying all the shares of JB Stouts and Marisco's. And I knew I needed to change something over there at Marisco's, and so I decided to put a Johnny's in out there west. Always before, I'd been approached about doing another Johnny's in Lawrence, but I thought the town was too small and that I would lose some of my business in North Lawrence, but it was totally the opposite. This town's big enough for two Johnny's now. They're kind of complement each other. One of them's more of a neighborhood, you know, go have a couple of beers kind of a place, and the other is a place where you can take your family and watch the football game on the Sunday. So they, it's really been a good complement to each other. And that was, let's see, we've been open there for, this is our third year as
That's
Johnny's
great.
West out there. Yeah.
So now you've got Johnny's West and Johnny's, and they do definitely have different feels, and I've met both of them a few times and enjoy them both. But now you've, so what is the future? Are you guys planning on expanding to other Johnny's restaurants in the region? Or, and then I also want to talk about then North Lawrence in particular and kind of the growth that might happen there north of the river.
Well, let's see. I'm 57 years old, and I've been doing this for 36 years. And expansion doesn't excite me as much as it used to.
It's not as much fun.
But I have several partners that are in their 40s that's all they can talk about is expansion. So, like I said before, we have lots of real estate opportunities and lots of people coming to us. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the future, but if I was making an educated guess, I would say that we'll probably open 2 or 3 more in the greater Kansas City area.
Okay.
We'd love to do a store in Topeka. We'd love to do a store in Wichita. So I think all those things over the next 2 to 5 years are probably out there on the table, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
So you're not going to. So you're not thinking about going to Dallas or anything like right now, right? Yeah, you're still going to stay regional.
With our ownership group, yes, because we really believe it's important to have owner operators on board right there. Now, if some KU alumnus from Dallas wants to open a Johnny's in Dallas and they want to come and talk to us, you know where to get a hold of me, 401 North Second. We always entertain those possibilities.
Okay.
I think there's 3 things you need to operate a successful restaurant. One of them is the location. One of them is the financing to get it done. And one of them is the people to operate it. So if those 3 things, we don't really have a hard time with finding the location now because people are out scouting for us. Because we're 9-store restaurant now, we do have quite a few people in the ranks that I think would like a opportunity to get up there. So, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens here. We don't have anything on the books right now. There is no ultimate plan.
There's no plan. No. Well, I do think it's interesting, too, because you really went from, you know, a bar to really more of a restaurant tavern kind of thing, which is it's a different mindset, too, with you said with all the food and stuff. It's really changed the whole business dynamic and the amount of servers and everything you need. And you do need good managers because
that goes south. People
stop going real quick.
And it doesn't take long either.
Well, let's talk about, too, one of the things where Johnny's is located. There's a lot of talk and a lot of information that we're talking about the kind of the North Lawrence expansion there along the river. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with that?
Yes, and there is only a little bit to tell about. I used to be the kind of guy that thinks, okay, we decided to do this. Let's get it done. Here's the plan. It's over with, and let's move on. I found out throughout other things in life, but also this project especially, that if you want to do something that's good and going to be long-lasting and meaningful, it takes a long time to do. So man, I don't know the time frame on this. It's all about the economy. It's all about what we can actually figure out to do down there. But the big picture is that about 3 years ago, a good friend of mine, John Davis, who's in business here in town, had bought 5 acres over there in North Lawrence. There's 19 acres back behind Johnny's back there in between the river and the railroad. And out of that 19 acres, oh, probably 15 of it was privately owned. And the other 4 or 5 acres is owned by the city and the Kaw Valley Water District. So John's idea was to buy all this property or get it under contract and then develop the whole thing. There isn't a lot back there that's worth rehabbing and saving. It's really, I would call it blighted, or maybe that's too harsh of a term, but it's definitely a part of Lawrence that needs to be reworked. Correct. And I liked how you kind of said, well, this expansion of North Lawrence, what we really envision it as is more an expansion of Massachusetts Street. What we'd like to do is when the time is right, and that means when all the buildings downtown are full occupancy and everybody's doing good down there, we don't want to cannibalize Massachusetts Street, but we think it's a great opportunity for Massachusetts Street to grow. There's not 19 acres, a big footprint like that, close to town. There's a few lots that are left, but there's not a lot that you can do over there. So the idea is to get all this land together in one bundle, change the zoning, get all those engineering and architectural things worked out, planning stages. And I had no clue. I thought you just, you know, you went to the store and you bought a gallon of milk and you came home and they paid the price on it. When you're doing developing like this, you have all these behind the scenes costs. You know, the engineers, we had to hire some big firm out of St. Louis to figure out how close we could get to the levee because we're dealing with the Corps of Engineers. It's just, it's actually mind-boggling. I don't know how anybody could do this for a living. But there are people that do it because I've consulted with them. But so now what we've been able to do is we've been able to get all the property under contract or in so that we can have it to do something. And now we're kind of checking out the different uses. You know, if you talk to anybody in North Lawrence, they all want a grocery store over there, you know, more housing, all kinds of stuff. Everybody's got an idea, and there's 19 acres, so I think there's a lot of opportunity to do a lot of different things over there. And we, you name something, we've thought about it. Some of them we've disregarded quickly.
Well, I think it's an interesting concept because a lot of the other cities were, you know, because you can't expand south, Massachusetts can't expand south, and growing there, you know, having to be able to walk across the river, go to North Lawrence, you know, either park there too, but, you know, have that kind of just an extension there, go up there. There's a lot of, there is a lot of space. I've been back there. There's a, right now there's just a lot of parking lot. There's a lot of, but there's a lot of land back there, and it could be, from being down in San Antonio's River Walk. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful places.
I think if you look at the history of most cities, they were all started on rivers because of the transportation and all that kind of stuff, and they used the river for power and everything like that. And then in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, we kind of moved away from the rivers, and they were just a dumping ground and all that. But now, 70s, 80s, 90s, you travel around much around this country, and any medium-sized city has a nice riverfront walk or something that takes advantage of the river. We don't really have that here, and I think this is a good location for that.
And I think what you're saying, too, is one of the things that we're lucky about is Massachusetts is our main shopping area, our kind of our jewel, you know, our area. Not that we don't, all the others aren't important, but kind of the one that people think about is so close to that river. So you're really expanding on that instead of trying to create something that isn't there. You're really just expanding on that.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I would like to say that I own 2 businesses at 6th and Wakarusa, which is way outside of town. Who thought Lawrence would ever be that far out?
The drive-ins were way
but
out there.
But if those businesses would not be worth as much, nor would I have even invested in them if we didn't have downtown Massachusetts. I'm all about that being the jewel, the core, the we got to keep that going well. And I think we're doing a great job of it.
Yeah, but I think we are too, and they know that they've, you know, a lot of the stores and stuff like that, the economy's been tough on downtown like it has on everything, but we're lucky with the university here. We're a little bit more insulated from that. So Now, when you're talking about the growth there too, when you're talking about expanding over the hill, I know that you're talking to a lot of different people trying to create the best scenario for that space. When people say, "Oh, you're going to ruin North Lawrence," what do you say? I mean, how do you, because you also have some detractors say, "Oh, we don't want anything over here." What do you say to them?
Well, I usually tell them that when this broke in the newspaper that we were going to do this over there, mm-hmm. and there was a nice artist rendering of the guy walking his dog on the walk, right. and the hotels and a grocery store and movie theater and all that kind of, and there was no picture of Johnny's there. This was on a Sunday. It was in the front page. And they asked me in there, "What are you going to do with Johnny?" I said, "I don't know. That's so far in the future. I'm not really sure. We could leave it where it's at. We could move it. We could just get rid of it altogether. Who knows?" Well, I went to work Monday morning. As you can imagine, instead of one old-timer sitting at the bar at 9:15, there was 20 guys in there. And as soon as I walked in, I got a lot of abuse. They called me a lot of foul language and a lot of names about, "You can't tear this place down, and this is a historical landmark, and my grandfather used to bring me down here," and da-da-da-da-da. So I said, "Yes, I am going to tear it down, and you're going to help me." And they said, no. I go, "Yeah, because what we're going to do is we're going to cut a 10-foot section out of this bar right here, mm-hmm. and we're going to carry it up to the river, and we're going to build a 3-story Johnny's up there. We're going to have a nice bathrooms, and we're going to have nice looking out over the top, and up above we're going to have nice places to live and nice restaurant, all that." And I said, "If they can tear down Yankee Stadium and rebuild it, we can sure as heck tear down Johnny's and rebuild it." So they were okay with that.
So you got them on board and got them a beer, and they were happy. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great one, because you definitely don't want to lose. I think it's probably the idea of you saying that maybe we weren't going to have a Johnny's there. That would not be good.
Right.
We have to have Johnny's in North Lawrence. That has been there a long time.
Fair enough.
Got to keep that. Well, thank you so much. This has been really great. So I think but as you're expanding your restaurants, I wanted to ask you one thing. So do you think your two in Lawrence is kind of your status quo? You've got Lawrence covered now with the two Johnny's here. You're not really thinking
I think as far as the Johnny's brand, absolutely. And I mentioned that I'm also own Marisco's, which is a whole different ball of wax. My wife's been running that, and I'm really proud of that. And it's a great, great facility. But like I said before, I think I'm on the end of my career, so I'm not really looking
to... Really 57.
I know. But I want to read, and I want to hang out, and I want to go have breakfast. And
Is that why you owned a bar in the first place, so you could read? Didn't know it was going to be so much work when you started, did you?
But we have a lot of great restaurateurs in town. I just saw Matt Llewellyn. He's a great guy. He's got a lot of good stuff. Chuck Mogrel down there. Henry T's. I mean, there's a lot of really good places that I like those guys, and I like Lawrence, and I think we'll be well served in the future for restaurants around town here.
That's great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having Johnny's here and making it. It's been a fun place. I have some good memories of that over the years, and hopefully other people will be making some great memories of that in other places. So
thanks for having me, Ann. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. So next week, I can't remember who our guest is, but I'm sure. Well, if you look at us on Facebook and on LawrenceBusinessMagazine.com, you can find out who our guests and other information on the magazine. You can like us on Facebook, and every Thursday morning we're here on KLWN 1320, redefining the concept of business. Thank you.